Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And before you're seated, therefore, ties what Paul has said in the first four chapters to what he is about to say in chapter 5. What has he said in the first four chapters? He's explained to us what it means to be justified by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have certain things. These are the things that I want to show you this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. You must remember what it means to be justified by God before you can fully comprehend what it is you have as a result of your justification. To be justified by God means two things. First, it means that God treats you just as if you never sinned. This is the word justified in simplified terms. God views a justified sinner just as if he never sinned. You are fully pardoned, fully forgiven, because you have come to faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he has done for you on the cross of Calvary. God pardons you of all your sins, past, present, and future. I smile just a little bit when someone says to me, Pastor, I understand that all of my sins are forgiven when I'm saved, when I come to faith in Christ, but what about my future sins? Don't I have to do things in order for God to forgive me of those sins? The reason I smile is, when did God justify sinners? Well, it seems to me if justification is an act of God and he justifies sinners at Calvary through the work of his Son, all of your sins were future at Calvary. And pardon flows through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for sinners. And to be justified by God means that all of your sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because he bore those sins on Calvary. But justification means more than just God views you as one who is fully pardoned of his sin. It means a second thing. God treats you just as if you have fully obeyed. What does obedience bring? It brings blessing. When God justifies a sinner, what he does is he takes the sins of that sinner, places them on his Son Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of those sins. But then he takes the righteousness of his Son Jesus Christ and gives it, Paul calls it, imputes it. He credits it to the account of the sinner who trusts in Christ, so that we receive a righteousness that is not our own. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Christ receives sins that are not his own, our sins, and is punished for those. This is the concept that Paul has been teaching in the first four chapters. Justification by God's grace, imputed righteousness, being justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God views me just as if I never sinned, and just as if I fully obeyed. Simply because I've trusted him who justifies the ungodly through the work of his Son. Why is that so hard for people to grasp? I think it because it goes against the nature of human beings. We want to do something to earn the favor of God. We want to examine to see whether or not we've really measured up to receive His blessing. But the Scripture says all the blessings of heaven are found in Jesus Christ. Now, if you have come to faith in Christ, if you have come to trust what He has done for you as a sinner on the cross of Calvary, and you've been justified by the grace of God, the Scripture says, therefore, because you are justified, there are certain things that you have. Number one, peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now remember, when Paul says being justified by faith, that's a shortened way of saying justified by grace through faith. Your faith does not justify you. It is God who justifies you. But you receive His justification through faith in the work of His Son. Therefore, being justified by God's grace through faith in Christ's work, we have peace with God. This is what the prophet Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 32, where he says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. When you really grasp what it means to be justified by God, there is peace that floods the heart, assurance that comes. Because God views you as perfectly righteous through the work of His Son. Therefore, you don't depend upon your own righteousness. You don't depend upon your own sinlessness. You are depending upon another, a substitute, the Lord Jesus. And you come to peace with God. Now, this phrase, peace with God, again, it sounds a little churchy. Everybody talks about peace. Everybody wants peace. Everybody searches for peace. But what in the world is peace with God? Our men meet on Tuesday mornings in a discipleship group at 7 o'clock, and I ask the men, what does peace with God mean? Help us understand it. And they gave me 5 illustrations of peace with God. And if you are justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, these 5 things are true of you. Number one, there is a cessation of hostilities between you and God. You're at peace. The war has ended. You say, what war? Well, it's a war that Paul is very clear about in Romans 8, we'll come to it, where he says, the carnal mind, that means the mind that has never been touched by the grace of God, that is not a Christian who backslides. No, no, no. A carnal man is a man who's never been justified. The carnal mind is at enmity, at war with God. But when he comes to an understanding of the love of God, the love that would give Jesus Christ to die in the stead of a sinner like me, his hostility toward God ends. And he's at peace. And he knows that if God has given him His Son, He will freely give him all things that he needs. And that even if a spouse dies or a child dies, no, no, no. God gave His Son, and He will work all things for my good. And this movie winds up with that viewpoint. Peace with God means that hostilities with Him end. And when I think about what it required for me to be considered righteous in the sight of God, the death of Jesus Christ, the love required in sending Jesus Christ to die on Calvary for me, how can I have hostility toward God? I'm at peace. Second, not only does peace with God mean the cessation of hostilities, it means that there is no looking over your shoulder for an approaching enemy. Isn't it amazing how some professing Christians view God as someone who has a big old hammer, and all He is waiting to do is hammer you over the head. He's waiting to zap you. If you ever step out of line, if you ever just cross over where you shouldn't go. Well, what is that? You got to be kidding me, right? If you are justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God, which means that you no longer have to look over your shoulder afraid that God is going to get you. Now, listen to me. If you're not justified, you ought to be looking over your shoulder afraid that God is going to punish you. This is what Jesus said. Flee from the wrath to come. These are all of the illustrations of the Old Testament. The manslayer who was guilty. What did he have to do? He had to run from the approaching enemy that sought his life. The enemy of the law. And where did he flee? To the city of refuge. A picture in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. You say, why is the city of refuge in the Old Testament a picture of Jesus Christ? Because when the manslayer, the guilty party, arrived in the city of refuge, by the way, there were seven of them, but when he arrived, he had to stay until the high priest died. Then when the high priest died, he was free to go, and nobody could hold an offense against the manslayer. So it is when a person is justified through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. You've run to the city of refuge. You have run to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing can be held against you. You don't have to look over your shoulder. The high priest has died. Your sins have been given to Him. His righteousness has been given to you. You say, but Pastor, I don't feel righteous. I don't feel like I have the ability to stand before God. I don't feel that I'm at peace with Him because my life is not the way I want it to be. I know that you're not where you want to be. Your wife has told me that. Your husband's told me that. My wife would tell you that about me. My kids would tell you that about me. I'm talking about how God views you. Fully righteous. Holy perfect. Because of Christ. You don't have to look over your shoulder. Number three. Rather than God condemning us, God brags on us. In your notes, I've given you scripture verses for all of these illustrations. I just want to read this particular scripture in Colossians chapter 1. Your notes say Colossians 3. But Colossians 1 is a wonderful chapter. In verses 21 and 22, the scripture tells us, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now God hath reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Do you see what he's saying here? You who were once alienated have been reconciled through the work of Christ, the giving of His flesh. By the way, another illustration in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is God. God gave Himself to die on the cross in the body of His flesh through death. Why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. How can He do that? By taking your sins upon Himself and giving you His righteousness. And you receive it by faith. And He brags on you. He brags on you. Number four, there is no fear of meeting Him face to face in death. Because He's well pleased with you. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And if the righteousness of Jesus Christ has become yours because you've been justified by God's grace through faith in His Son, then He's well pleased with you. And when you stand before Him on that day, There will be no fear of meeting Him because you stand in His righteousness. And He brags on you. You say, well, who's He bragging to? Well, I think Scripture gives us some indication that He's bragging to the angels. The angels look, they peer with wonder, and they are amazed that a holy God can save a sinner. They can't understand it. And He just brags. And He says, look what I've done. And it could be that He brags maybe just a little bit to the self-righteous who say to Him, look at all we've done. Oh, look, we've gone to church. We've cast out demons in Your name. We've done many wonderful works. We've done all these things. And He says, depart from me. I never knew you. But He pulls up an old drunk who at the age of 64 came to faith in Jesus Christ and trusted what the Lord did for drunks. And God justified him and began a work in him. He died just a year later. But he died attempting to become sober, not in order to gain the favor of God, but because he marveled that Jesus Christ could ever die for him as a drunk. By the way, that was my grandfather. And maybe God just brags a little bit to the self-righteous. I don't know. But He brags on you when you're at peace with Him. And as a result, there's no fear of meeting Him face to face. Number five, there's also no longer any need to hide from Christ in this life. When you begin to understand that you are justified by God's grace, you will no longer need to have to hide from God. You can be real, you can be open, you can be genuine. Because you understand that you are accepted on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ and you live your life in grateful response to what He has done for you. The world seeks peace and rest and finds sorry substitutes in the things of life. The only peace that is real and independent of one's circumstances is the peace that a believer finds through Jesus Christ. This little verse, therefore, having been justified by God's grace, we have peace with Him. In the Greek language in which it was written, the construction is such that you could translate it, therefore, being justified by God's grace, let us have peace with God. In other words, work at it. Fight at it. Struggle with it. Don't let people tell you that there is no peace with God for a justified person. Let us have peace with Him. Number two, not only does a justified person have peace with God, a justified person has access to God. This is what verse 2 says when it says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What does it mean to have access to a place where we stand in grace? Well, there are so many facets to this truth that we're not going to delve into it, but let me just give you one. Listen to this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Some believe Hebrews was written by Paul. I'm not sure that it was, but the writer of Hebrews says this, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This is an open-ended promise to a justified person. Now, think with me. When do you have need in your life? I don't know about you, but it's every day of my life. Maybe you're in need of some help because you're depressed. Maybe you're in need of some help because you need a job. I don't know what your needs are. But the Scripture says, as a justified person, you have access to God in your time of need and therefore come boldly before His throne of grace. Ah, don't you dare do this. Don't you dare say to God, God, listen, I'm really in a jam right now. And Lord, I know I really haven't been what I should be. And Lord, I promise I'm going to be better tomorrow. And I'll just try harder. And Lord, if You'll just help me out of this jam right now, I promise You I will. Don't you dare do that. Why? All you're doing is presenting yourself to God. And that won't get you a thing. But if you're in need, and you come before God boldly, as a sinner trusting Christ, and you say humbly, Lord, I have no right or merit to stand before you other than the merits of your Son. But I come boldly trusting you that you have justified me through Jesus. And Father, I'm in need. And I ask you to help me on account of your Son. I can guarantee you that the answer from heaven will always be, of course I'll help. Now, it may not be the way you think he ought to respond, but it will always be the best way to respond. And he will always help, so never hesitate. But see, religion will tell you, clean it up, get it right, do what you can, and then come to God, make a bargain with him, and say, now, Lord, I'm going to do this and do this and do this, if you'll just do this for me. Don't do that. That is not being justified by God's grace. Only when you are justified by his grace do you have access to him when you have a need. You say, well, how? What does that mean? Well, have you ever been on one of these swanky cruises? Have you ever been on one of these hotel resorts where you go in and what do? They put a wristband on you. And you walk in and all of the employees see the wristband and they wait upon your every need. That's the way it is with the grace of God. You come into the presence of God wearing the robe of righteousness called Jesus Christ. And his righteousness is seen. And his favor is granted. An unjustified person does not have that. Finally, the scripture says we have joy. Joy. The world doesn't have this. People without Christ don't even know what it means. See, they have happiness. And their happiness always depends upon their circumstances. As my father has taught me over the years, to them, happiness happens when happenstances happen to be happy. And they are thoroughly happy when their happenstances are happy. But their happenstances, their circumstances cease being happy. Oh, they go in the proverbial toilet. Life is over. It's time to end it. Not so for the Christian. Look what verse 2 says. And those who have been justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What does this rejoicing mean? Well, the glory of God is most often used to represent his revealed presence. One of the blessings of justification is joy over the prospect of meeting God. The prospect of meeting God in church. The prospect of meeting God in a home where there's two or three gathered together and Christ is so sweet and there's fellowship around a dinner table. There's joy in the presence of God. But I think it also means joy in the coming of God. Not only joy now, but joy then. On Judgment Day, Jesus Christ is said to come with great power and glory. Mark 13. John said of Jesus Christ, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. For the justified person, the day of judgment is a day when Jesus Christ is met face to face. And there is incredible joy for the believer because he sees his Lord. Now you say, well, what kind of joy comes for the believer? There's joy for the believer because he receives an inheritance that has been set aside for him. This is what Paul's been describing in Romans 4. The inheritance that comes to those who've been justified by the grace of God. It's an inheritance that God freely gives to his children who've come to faith in Christ. An inheritance that is not deserved or earned, but inheritance that is freely given. There's joy when we see it. We can't believe it. And by the way, Ephesians tells us that all of eternity is nothing but the unfolding of the knowledge of the inheritance which you've been given. It'll wipe you out It'll blow you away. And there will be tears on Judgment Day, but they will be tears of joy because a sinner has been received by God. Oh, but by the way, this is what the Scripture says. This is what the Scripture says about the old saints. This is what drove them. Listen to what Hebrews 11 says. Hebrews 11 says about Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward which he was to receive. Now there are those who will tell you that that reward is based upon what you do. There is a big Greek word for that theory, baloney. The reward is based upon what Christ has done. You say, Pastor, but what about individual rewards for believers? We're going to come to that in our study of Romans. There's a whole misapprehension of this entire subject of rewards. Yes, we serve God. Yes, we win people to Christ. Yes, we do these things. But when we get to heaven, the inheritance that we have is based upon the work of Christ. Oh, but let me show you this, and I'm done. Not only is there joy for believers in Christ, there is joy for Christ on that day of judgment. Who gives the inheritance to His people? Listen to this verse. The Scripture is recounting the death of Christ on the cross. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. What joy is that? I would propose to you that it was the joy of thinking about you. Thinking about you, a person who doesn't measure up. A person who by nature should be condemned. A person who is a sinner at heart. But the joy of knowing that He was enduring the cross in order that on that day He might give you an inheritance and say, come, you are welcome. You're welcome. I love you. Jesus Christ, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross for you. Peace, access, and joy. You say, Pastor, but man, I really, 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 really want you to tell me what I should be doing for God. That's what I really want to hear. We're going to get to it. Trust me. We're going to get to it. We are going to get to it. But if you get there, before you understand what you have in Christ, you will serve out of the wrong motivation. When you understand what you have in Him, everything you do will just flow from the heart in gratefulness to Him. Now see if this verse doesn't make sense now. Therefore, being justified by God, being viewed just as if I never sinned, being treated by Him just as if I fully obeyed, because my sins were given to Christ, His righteousness has been given to me through my faith in His work. I now have peace with God. I don't look over my shoulder. My hostility toward Him has ceased. I'm not afraid to meet Him face to face. I'm at peace. I always have access to Him in my time of need, even when I feel like a rotten, dirty scoundrel, which, by the way, most of us are rotten, dirty scoundrels. I always have access because of Christ. But I find that I want to quit being a rotten, dirty scoundrel. Because every time I come into His presence and revel in His grace, I can't believe that He would love me like this. So I'm going to quit doing those things that I used to do. And nobody's got to tell me that. It just happens. Because there's a joy in the presence of God that I don't get anywhere else. but in His presence. Peace, access, joy.